Today is the solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord, which in most of the world was celebrated on this last Thursday, but was moved by the bishops in our area to the Sunday. The main reason for moving it to Sunday was that many Catholics have apparently skipped observing it when it fell on Thursdays, because they didn't think that it was important enough to leave work or whatever. By moving it to Sunday, the bishops are hoping that we can make Catholics more aware of just how important this feast day is. So why is the Ascension so important? Most obviously, it is the reality that Jesus Christ acted in history and in historical time, actually, physically, bodily, rose up into heaven and is now physically, bodily seated at the right hand of God the Father, reigning over the universe. This is the essential of the mystery. And from this flows many other reasons that make this feast day so important to us. Today I'd like to talk about just three of those reasons. First of all, it is a pledge of future glory to us. If we love him and follow him in this world, someday we will follow him, Jesus, into heaven. Second, it is a promise that Christ is truly and fully alive and still with us and will be with us always. And third, it is a revelation of the great dignity of the human body. First, consider the Ascension as the pledge of our future glory. In today's second reading from Ephesians, St. Paul says, "May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones for us who believe." He's speaking, of course, when he speaks of he or his, he's speaking of Jesus. He speaks of his inheritance. But this inheritance is one that passes to us in him, the riches of his glory for those who believe. And so he says that we may praise, that we may know our hope. What is our hope? Our hope is this promise of Jesus. Now today, of course, is Mother's Day. And most of us will try to spend time with our moms, either in person or on the phone. If we can't do that, then it will be a source of great sadness and even pain. Because that's the way it is when you love someone. You truly want to be with them, especially on special days. And not just be with them on the phone, but you want to be with them in person, in the flesh, in the body, face to face. Now today, we very much want to be with our moms. But I think it's true we could all also admit that we don't want to be with our moms all the time. Moms are wonderful. But in fact, they're not everything to us. Because we also enjoy being with other people when our moms aren't around. For example, when you go on your honeymoon, you know, you love your mom, but you don't take your wife, you don't take your mother on your honeymoon with you. But Jesus Christ is everything to us. As St. Paul says, Christ is all and in all. And all things were created through him and for him. So for Christians, we can only truly be happy when we're with Jesus. For all human beings, really. And Jesus promises us this. With him, we will have life in abundance. And our joy will be complete. So St. Luke tells us in today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, he says, "This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will return in the same way." And elsewhere, St. Paul tells us, "When Jesus comes again, we who are alive," he says, "shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." And St. John tells us, "We know that when he appears, we shall be like him." For those who love Jesus, the ascension is a promise that he will come back for us and that we will be with him forever in his glory in heaven. And this brings us to our second important reason to talk about today. As much as we may love Jesus, Jesus loves us infinitely more. And so he tells us, "Behold, I am with you always until the end of time." And so even as he tells his apostles, "All power in heaven and earth has been given to me," that same all-powerful Jesus makes it possible that even as he sits at his Father's right hand in heaven, somehow in his great power, he is also present to us here and now. He does this in many ways. First, he says, behold, right before he ascends to heaven, he tells his apostles, in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He sends his Holy Spirit 9 days later on Pentecost, that we celebrate next Sunday. And there the Spirit dwelling in each of them and in the church is the true presence of Jesus' Spirit with his church always. But Jesus is not just Spirit. That's why he ascended into heaven bodily, because Jesus has taken to himself a human nature with the human spirit and the human body. And so he doesn't just want to be with us in spirit. He wants to be with us like today we want to be with our mothers, face to face, in person, in the flesh. And so he leaves us his body, even as his body goes into heaven. It's a miracle, but it's the miracle of an all-powerful God. And so he comes to us in his real bodily presence, his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. Think about this. The actual day of this feast is Thursday. That's the day, if you will, the Lord chose. What other important Thursday is there in the Gospels? The only one I know for certain is the Thursday before he died. The all-important Last Supper. And on that night, as at the Ascension, the night of the Last Supper, Holy Thursday, he gathered his apostles and only his apostles around him, just like at the Ascension. And where at the Ascension he told them, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you at the Last Supper, he commanded them, do this in memory of me. At the Ascension, the apostles watched in amazement as he took his body up into heaven. And at the Last Supper, they also watched in amazement as he gave them his body to eat in the Eucharist. Bodies don't ascend up into heaven normally. Bodies also don't come to us under the form of bread. Acts tells us that at the Ascension he was lifted up, and it says that the apostles were looking intently at him as he was being lifted up. And so at every Mass he is lifted up also in the Eucharist. We lift him up, and all here present look at him intently. The Gospels tell us that when he came to them at the Ascension, it says, when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Today, when he comes to us in the Eucharist, you will see him, and you will worship, but some will also doubt. At the Ascension, he ascends into heaven, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and at the consecration today, he descends down from heaven, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Ascension Thursday points to Holy Thursday, and the Ascension points us to the Eucharist, where Jesus promised, as he bodily ascends, his promise to be with us always is fulfilled. And finally, the third point, the dignity of the human body. In the days when Jesus and his apostles walked the earth, there was a very popular philosophy that many people lived by. It was according to the teachings of really the Greek philosophers, and especially Plato. And this maintained that while the essence of the body, the essence of the person was the soul, the body really wasn't part of the person. The body was sort of like a prison that kept the soul in there, kept the person in there, keeping the person, the soul, from freedom. Today we sort of return to that kind of Platonic view of the body. Not a Catholic view. Catholic views is that, as we see in the Ascension, a person is body and soul. But this Platonic view that we've readopted today, we tend to see the body as sort of a shell or a machine, a thing apart from us that can be manipulated and even manufactured. All sorts of anti-human evils arise when we start to think this way. And one extreme, think of bodies as having no significance at all. And so people ignore what their bodies have to tell them about who they are. And so men pretend to be women, and women pretend to be men in lots of different ways. From the clothes they wear, to the bathrooms they use, to the partners they choose for sex. On the other extreme, we see how people treat their bodies as something to be used and abused by one another without any consequence to their souls or to their eternal salvation. Very Platonic. They leave their bodies behind when they die. So how could their bodies and what they do in the body affect their soul or affect eternal salvation? Look at the rise of pornography, especially on the internet. What is that but viewing the body, especially the body of women, as a thing to be manipulated? And think of the acceptance of even by Christians of all sorts of abuses of the gift of the sexuality of the human body, accepting and even celebrating the perverted abuses of sodomy, oral sex, masturbation, and contraception. And worst of all, perhaps we have doctors who are sworn to heal the human body, instead attacking the healthy bodies of mothers and their unborn babies in the barbarism of abortion, which has only led to even more atrocities against the human body, manufacturing and experimenting on the bodies of unborn babies. In vitro fertilization is nothing but manufacturing of a human body. And then we find also abortion leading to the harvesting of body parts. And then you have the Ascension. You have all this in the way our culture is going with the body, but then on the other hand, the Ascension. Jesus takes his body into heaven. His body is not a shell to be shed at death, a prison to be freed from in heaven, not something to be ignored as meaningless or used for amusement or experimentation. His body is sacred and it's part of him, a gift from his Father. And so are our bodies. In his body, incarnate, conceived in the and born of the body of his beloved mother, Mary, Christ was able to communicate his love to us by speaking to us with his mouth, by looking at us with his eyes, by touching us with his hands, performing miracles as he laid hands on people, as he spoke to the storm, "Be quiet." He said that with his mouth, his body. And ultimately, he showed us his love in the body by laying down his body, by his bodily death on the cross, and his bodily resurrection and ascension to heaven. In his body, he promises us new and eternal life as he rises from the dead and ascends bodily into heaven. Our bodies were made to be part of us forever. The perfect joy of the life of heaven is incomplete, really, until it's perfected, when our bodies are perfected in the resurrection and ascension on the last day. Our bodies were created for heavenly glory, not for earthly degradation. I could go on, and you know I can do that, but I won't. Some are saying, "You've already gone on, Father." But all this serves to remind us that this day of the Ascension is truly, in fact, one of the most important days in the history of the world, and as such demands our attention and our devout and solemn celebration. Personally, I pray that someday soon, when we've returned to our proper understanding of what it really is, that we'll return the celebration of it back to its proper day, the day that Jesus chose, Thursday. But until then, as we come together to celebrate the Holy Eucharist, let us remember Christ's promise that he will be with us always. His pledge that if we love him and follow him in this life, we will be with him completely and perfectly in the next. And his command that if we love him, we must recognize and honor the gift of the human body. His body, our bodies, and the bodies of all of our neighbors. Now as we go more deeply into the mystery of this Holy Mass, let us cast our eyes to heaven and then down to the altar as Christ descends from his heavenly throne to be with us in the Eucharist, now and always, even until the end of the age. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.